Hi, it's Ruth McCauley back with the second half hour of news from the Decatur area for Thursday, March 10th. We begin now with some of the death notices that appear in the Decatur Herald and Review. Robert M. Bob Austin, 90, of Decatur, passed away on Saturday, March 5th. A service to celebrate and honor his life will be held at 11:30 a.m. on Friday, March 11th, that's tomorrow, at Dawson and Wyckoff West Wood Street Funeral Home. Visitation will be from 10 a.m. until the service time. He will be laid to rest at Fairlawn Cemetery. Memorial donations in Bob's name can be made to the American Heart Association. Donna Sue Blackwell, 51, of Forsyth, went home to be with her Lord and Savior. A service to celebrate Donna's life will be held at 10 a.m. on Monday, March 14th, at Dawson and Wyckoff Funeral Home in Mount Zion. The family will receive friends for a time of visitation from 5 to 7 p.m. on Sunday. Donna will be laid to rest in Graceland Cemetery. Memorial contributions in Donna's name may be directed to First Baptist Church of Mount Zion in memory of Donna Blackwell. Carl E. Brazier, 72, of Decatur, departed this life on Friday, March 4th, in Decatur Memorial Hospital. Homegoing services to celebrate Carl's life will be held at noon Saturday, March 14th. That date doesn't sound right. Saturday is not the 14th, that's Monday. So, I don't know whether it's actually Monday the 14th or Saturday the 12th. You might want to call Graceland Fairlawn Funeral Home at 2091 North Oakland Avenue in Decatur to ascertain the correct date. Visitation will be for 1 hour prior to that service, and burial will be in Graceland Cemetery. Robert Bob H. Flower, Jr., 90, died on Tuesday, March 8th at Decatur Memorial Hospital. A funeral service to celebrate the life of Robert Flower will be held at 11:30 a.m. Friday, that's tomorrow, March 11th, in the chapel at Graceland Fairlawn Funeral Home. Visitation will be from 5 p.m. to 8 p.m. on Thursday, March 10th, at Graceland Fairlawn Funeral Home. Burial will be in the Cerro Gordo Cemetery. Memorials are suggested to the First United Methodist Church or to an organization of the donor's choice. Aldona Lillian Vistulis Lucas from Decatur died on Sunday, March 6th. A mass of Christian burial will be scheduled at a later date in Birchwood, Wisconsin, but visitation will be held this evening from 5 to 7 p.m. at the Moran and Goebel Funeral Home. Burial will happen at a later date. Memorial donations may be made to St. John the Evangelist Church in Birchwood, Wisconsin, or to Fair Havens Christian Home. Gloria Davis Martin, 90, of Decatur, went to be with the Lord on Monday, March 7th, in Hickory Point Christian Village. Service to celebrate God's gift of eternal life for Gloria will be at 12 noon on Friday, that's tomorrow, March 11th, in St. Paul's Lutheran Church. The family will receive friends from 11 a.m. until noon Friday at the church. A private family burial will take place in Graceland Cemetery with military rites conducted by the Macon County Honor Guard. Memorials are suggested to St. Paul's Lutheran Church or to the New Life Pregnancy Center. Vicki L. Mize, 60, of Decatur, passed away on Monday, March 7th, at her home surrounded by her family. Vicki was born March 25th, 1955, in Portsmouth, Virginia, to Thomas and Rosemary Hines Johnson. She married Michael D. Mize, Sr., in Decatur. The family will host a service at 3 p.m. on Saturday, March 19th, at the Decatur Park City Recreation Room. The family would like memorials to be directed to the Cancer Care Center at 210 West McKinley Avenue, Suite Number 1 in Decatur, Illinois, 62526. Nancy L. Sims, 77, of Herrick, formerly of Moquegua, died on March 8th in Decatur. Funeral services will be held at 3 p.m. Friday, that's tomorrow, March 11th, in Sites Funeral Home in Moquegua. Visitation will be from 1 p.m. until the service time. Burial will take place in Odd Fellows Cemetery, Moquegua. Memorial donations may be made to the American Cancer Society. Lawrence Larry Raymond Terry. So Larry Terry, 58, of Decatur, passed away at 11:28 p.m. March 8th at Decatur Memorial Hospital. Service will be held at 2 p.m. Friday, March 11th, at the Calvert Funeral Home in Clinton, Illinois, with Ernie Harvey Jr. officiating. Burial will follow at Memorial Park Cemetery in Clinton. Visitation will be from 1 to 2 p.m. Friday at the funeral home. Memorial donations may be directed to Heritage Behavioral Health for the Orchard Street Group Home. Liddell Turner, 90, formerly of Cisco, passed away peacefully in her sleep March 1st in Salt Lake City, Utah. The funeral service will begin with visitation on Monday, March 14th, from noon until 1:30 p.m., immediately followed by the service at the Mackey Wright Funeral Home in Monticello. Interment will be at the Croninger Cemetery in Cisco. Memorial donations may be made to the American Legion in Cisco, Illinois. Joseph Joe Funk, 74, Bethany, died at 7:30 p.m. on Monday, March 7th, peacefully in his home, surrounded by his family. Graveside services will be held at 10 a.m. Oops, it's happening today, or happened today, at the Marrowbone Township Cemetery in Bethany with Reverend Tim Moon officiating. There was no visitation. Memorials are suggested to the Moultrie County Relay for Life or the American Heart Association. Reed Funeral Home Sullivan was in charge of the arrangements. Edith Jones Kennedy, 95, departed this life on Saturday, March 5th, at Decatur Memorial Hospital in Decatur, Illinois, with her family by her side. Celebration of Life services will be held on Saturday, March 12th, at noon, with visitation at 11 a.m., 1 hour prior to the service, at the New Salem Baptist Church, with Pastor John T. Banks, Sr. officiating. Burial will be in the Macon County Memorial Park. Professional services have been entrusted to the Walker Funeral Service. Aldona Lillian Vistulis Lucas passed on to eternal life on Sunday, March 6th, at Fairhaven's Christian Home. Visitation will be held on Thursday, oops, that's today, this evening, from 5 to 7 p.m., okay, so this evening, at the Moran and Goble Funeral Home. Vigil prayer service will be held at 4:30 p.m. A massive Christian burial and interment will take place in Birchwood, Wisconsin, at a later date. I see no Notation of where any memorial gifts may be made. But you could always call the Goble Funeral Home and Cremation Services to see if they are aware of any such wishes. Leona Meek Carter, 87, of Decatur, passed away on Sunday, March 6th, in Heartland Manor Care. A funeral services to celebrate Leona's life were held on Wednesday, March 9th, at Point Pleasant Cemetery, and memorial donations are to be sent to the Alzheimer's or to dementia. Alzheimer's Society, I'm not sure, Alzheimer's Research, or to Dementia Research. Arlene Marie Oliver, 65, of Decatur, passed away on Thursday, March 3rd, in Decatur Memorial Hospital. Homegoing celebration of Arlene's life will be held at noon Saturday, March 12th, in Moran and Goble Funeral Home, with the Reverend Robert White officiating. Visitation will be held from 11 a.m. until noon Saturday in the funeral home, and burial will follow the service in Graceland Cemetery. John Michael Svoboda, 39, of Mount Zion, passed away on Monday, March 7th, in his home. A Mass of Christian burial will be held at 10 a.m. on Saturday, March 12th, at Our Lady of the Holy Spirit Catholic Church in Mount Zion. The family will receive friends for a time of visitation from 5 to 7 p.m. on Friday at Dawson and Wyckoff Funeral Home in Mount Zion. The family requests casual attire for John's services. John will be laid to rest in Mount Zion Township Cemetery. Brad Earl Wright, 60, of Decatur, passed away Tuesday, March 1st, at Imboden Creek Living Center with his family by his side. Following Brad's wishes, a memorial service to honor his life will be held on Saturday, March 12th, at South Shores Christian Church. Visitation will be at 10 a.m., followed by the memorial service at 11 a.m. In lieu of flowers, the family requests memorials be made to his church, South Shores Christian. Brentlinger and Earl Funeral Home in Decatur is assisting the family with arrangements. We turn now to the opinions page of the Decatur Herald and Review and take first the editor's opinions expressed in their editorial. State's problems put on a hold for spring break. Governor Bruce Rauner wants the Illinois General Assembly, particularly the House, to get to work. At a news conference on Tuesday, Rauner criticized House Speaker Michael Madigan for adjourning the House until April 4th. The General Assembly won't meet next week because of the Illinois primary and then will take a 2-week spring break. That's a dereliction of duty and a failure to do their jobs, Rauner said. The governor is right, although it's rarely gone well when governors criticize legislators. Rauner also said he wouldn't call a special session because that never works. He's right about that also. The General Assembly is hardly a nose-to-the-grindstone organization. According to the General Assembly's own records, the House and Senate have each been in session less than 15 times since January 1st. Senate sessions are scheduled for next week, but the House doesn't plan to meet again until April 4th. Such a schedule might be acceptable if the state was operating smoothly, but the state, as we all feel every day, is entering its ninth month without a state budget. While legislators are enjoying their spring break, the rest of the state is suffering because the government has not performed the most basic of its functions. Rauner also asked Tuesday for a clean education bill that would provide more funding to the state's public schools. While additional dependable money for schools is warranted, Rauner seems to be dismissing school funding reform. Under the current system, students in districts that are poor don't receive the same education as those students fortunate to live in better-off districts. Democrats, led by State Senator Andy Menard, a Democrat of Bunker Hill, have proposed plans that would simplify and equalize school funding. Lower school funding in some districts can be a hard political pill to swallow, but something needs to be done. Placing more money into the public school system will help, but it will still amount to investing more taxpayer dollars in a system that penalizes poor students. Rauner has stated he doesn't want Democrats holding state education funding hostage in exchange for a Chicago school system bailout. We agree with that sentiment, but it's also important that state funding for schools go to the students that need it the most. This political posturing was tiring a long time ago. It's clear that Madigan has little desire to work with Rauner, even on the most basic of issues. It's also clear that Madigan's House Democrats, despite what they say at home, are not capable of acting independently. The state needs a budget, school spending reform, pension reform, and a host of other issues resolved. Instead, our legislative leaders are going on spring break. Okay, next we find out some of your opinions in the form of a letter to the editor. This one from Pamela Johnson of Decatur. And they've covered it with a headline that reads, "Voters should carefully research Kirk's record." On March 15th, we had the opportunity to put some fresh new leadership in Washington by electing citizen candidate James T. Martyr for U.S. Senate. Some voters are or do not like voting for an unknown. Let's take a look at Senator Mark Kirk's voting record. Senator Kirk just voted for the omnibus bill, which contained a whopping $1.1 trillion for funding the entire government. This bill fully funded Obama's amnesty programs, adding close to $300 million in funding for economic and cultural development in some of the very Latin American countries violating our sovereignty. Kirk also voted yes to fully fund Obama's executive amnesty and voted yes on Obama's trade plan. A major concern is that Obama would use these trade agreements to pursue liberal policies such as changes to our immigration system, labor laws, and global warming regulations. Senator Kirk was the only Republican to vote against defunding Planned Parenthood. I urge you to visit NumberUSA, all one word, .com, the website. Select Congress, scroll to report card, and select Illinois. You can see for yourself the abysmal voting records of all Illinois senators and representatives on immigration legislation. As of today, Senator Kirk has an F-. Still want to vote for Senator Kirk? James T. Martyr is pro-life, pro-Second Amendment, will fight to repeal Obamacare. James wants the government to follow the law on immigration. He believes all federal funding and involvement in Common Core or any national education standards should be eliminated. James believes in balancing the budget and feels we need to fix the tax code, make it flat and simple, and slash the size of the IRS. I urge you to do your own research. I believe when you read the truth for yourself, you will vote for James T. Martyr on March 15th. Okay, and that's a letter to the editor of the Decatur Herald and Review, signed by Pamela Johnson of Decatur. And here are some of the opinions as expressed to in letters to to Paul Osborne, the editor of the Decatur Tribune. Our first is signed by Connie Maines of Mattoon, and it carries the headline, Using Republican Logic, President Shouldn't Do Anything the Rest of His Term. Dear Editor, the next time the Republicans tell the president that he is wasting his time nominating a new Supreme Court justice because he is a lame duck president, and therefore that decision should be given to whoever wins in November, President Obama should tell them, if that is the case, senators, then I guess I shouldn't react or do any of my sworn duties to protect the American people from here on out. According to the GOP's logic, the president shouldn't do anything for the next 10 months. So if we're attacked by Russia, North Korea, who just fired off more missiles, or Iran, for example, he should just sit back and say, sorry, America, I'm a lame duck. We'll have to wait until January 20th, 2017, and allow your next president to decide whether we react to this attack or not. I guess it also means he shouldn't be the military's commander-in-chief either, which means he should stop all military actions he's ordered regarding ISIS and Al-Qaeda this year. Oh, and by the way, being a lame duck also means he shouldn't be signing any bills from here on out. If the Republicans feel the nomination of a Supreme Court justice is too important for a lame duck president to obey their pledge to preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States, they apparently also feel that all other duties of the office of the presidency should be suspended and held over until January 20th, 2017. Okay, a letter to the editor of the Tribune signed by Connie Maines of Mattoon. Our next is written by Linda Kehart, or Kehart, K-E-H-A-R-T of Decatur. Dear editor, there is so much election coverage right now. Decatur Township is not in that election mode, but it can be complimented for having made positive changes. Listening to the public regarding keeping budgets under control, Lisa Stanley, Township Supervisor, has made that commitment a reality. She undertook change for the General Assistance Program, where client accountability is now a priority. Everyone wins. Client support goes directly to a need most supportive of the client, whether that be rent, utilities, or other necessities. Congratulations to Ms. Stanley, who has spent considerable time organizing this valuable improvement. A letter to the editor signed by Linda Kehart of Decatur. We're going to turn to Paul Osborne, who's the editor of the Tribune, and pick up some of his opinions as expressed in the City Beat column. And it carries a headline, There's a lot of activity in the evenings in downtown Decatur. More than a few times recently, I have been asked, what's happening at night in the downtown area? Some motorists who have driven through downtown in the evening have been amazed at all of the cars. Friday night, one of my sons took his two sons downtown to eat at Coney McCain's American Eatery at the corner of North Main and East Prairie Streets, and finding a place to park wasn't easy. There were no spaces available on Main or Prairie Streets. The huge half-block municipal parking lot just north of Coney's was full, and all the spaces around Central Park were full. They finally found a spot on West Prairie, two blocks from Coney's. Apparently, it was worth the two-block walk because they really enjoyed it. My son talked to me about it and expressed his surprise at how many people were downtown in the evening. I didn't know how many evenings a week that downtown events and restaurants are attracting people, but there's certainly more activity in the city's core area than there's been in a long time. The City of Decatur's downtown streetscape project has created a better environment for the core area, and it's starting to pay dividends. On another note, I couldn't help but note a letter to the editor that appeared in the Herald and Review newspaper one day last week that was highly critical of Decatur and the leadership of the city. This is not a criticism of the daily newspaper for printing the letter. I print such letters that are submitted because everyone has a right to comment about our community. However, I couldn't help but note that the person writing the letter about our community didn't even live in Decatur, but in a small community quite a few miles from our city. Certainly, people in other communities have a right to express their opinion about Decatur. However, whenever an out-of-town person blasts Decatur, I consider it a personal insult. Many continue to work tirelessly to improve Decatur, and often are demeaned by those who have either left us or have never lived in our community. There's no doubt, like many communities, we have our problems. But as a former mayor and longtime editor of this newspaper, I know that a lot is being done to move the city forward. Let's keep going here. Litter letters. Last week's item in this column about the littering that I witnessed in the drive-through lane at the South Shore's Dairy Queen brought several responses. I wrote that, quote, I was stopped in the drive-up lane of Dairy Queen the other day when the driver of the car in front of me, who was at the drive-up window, put his arm out of the window with a handful of scrap paper and dropped the paper on the driveway, exclamation, end quote. The trash blew down the street before I could get out and put it in the trash. Such uncaring littering action from people who should know better really bothers me. Following are a few of the responses from the column that I received on the Decatur Tribune Facebook page. Jackie Dixon, I feel the same way about people who throw their cigarette butts out their window. Cigarette butts are the most commonly discarded piece of waste worldwide. It's estimated that 1.69 billion pounds of butts wind up as toxic trash each year, creating an enormous environmental, health, and economic burden. Contrary to popular belief, cigarette butts are not biodegradable. From Bill Decatur up, trash, cigarette butts, they all have a place and it's not out the window. Take pride in your community. Set an example for your children. Manda Rios, not to mention there is almost always a trash can at the end of a drive-thru in case you need one. Gail Sanner, when I see trash on the street, I think of Lady Bird Johnson's 1963 cause to keep our highways clean. She made people more aware of the problem. From Sandy Morris, this really irritates me. I've seen very expensive cars do this, and I think their car must be too important to allow trash in. Maybe they shouldn't make trash if they can't get their lazy butt out to dispose of it properly. Classy people are sometimes not all that classy. Rosemary Richards adds, one of my pet peeves, can they be required to pay a fine if we turn their license number into authorities? Wishful thinking. Okay, just a quick reminder in his column, with the March 15th general election fast approaching, individuals will have the opportunity to cast their early ballots and register to vote. So you might want to check out the Macon County Clerk website to find out times or call times and locations for early voting, or call 424-1333 or 424-1309 for information. Okay, we're out of time for news from the Decatur area for Thursday, March 10th. Enjoy this spring-like weather activity, and I'll read with you again this coming next week. Till then, you all take care.